Okay. Let me call on myself. I think that's a good way to proceed. I also really support what Michael said earlier about the part relating to the postponed 2016 election. That ship has already sailed. That bylaws provision talks about if the schedule in the bylaws is not going to be able to be followed because of exigent circumstances, then the PNB must act by November 30th. Well, that happened a year ago. So that's a done deal, whether we like it or agree with it, disagree with it. It's already been decided. So the only thing that this current motion can address is what the fate of the 2015 election, which would normally be scheduled to start in June of next year. So that would be my only suggestion, just leave out that first part, because the PNB has already addressed that, and there is a timetable going forward, and that's done. And that's too late to deal with that.
Lawrence, just a second.
So Janet and then Lawrence.
Well, I don't know if it's too late, really, because that basically, in November 2013, had what would have been the 2013 election happen in 2014, and there was no way that 2014 election or this 2014 election this year still could have been dealt with by a motion by the PNB in November 2013. It was already, the exigent circumstances just shifted the 2013 to 2014. But there were additional exigent circumstances in 2014. So there was no way to deal with that. And that's what I'm talking about, some way to deal with that, in addition to the regular 2015 election, but somehow addressing the issues of the fact that the elections are not happening in 2014. We need to somehow deal with that. And that's what I'm suggesting, what I was suggesting initially with the committee working on it, that I do agree that a task force, yes, would be probably better, and within 36 hours would be great, and I'd be willing to work on it I'd be willing to be part of that task force.
Okay, so I have Lawrence, and then I want to speak again. Go ahead.
I see two problems, right? The first problem is that the statute of the bylaws will probably expire before the PNB gets a crack at it. And as it stands right now, we're scheduled to meet on the 4th, which is this coming next Thursday. So, I mean, how is the PNB going to take action on this if we don't meet to the 4th of December?
Can I answer?
Yeah, if you want to answer that.
The PNB can act on this by voting online. If a part of the bylaws, that bylaws provision allows that to happen, and it can be approved by 2/3 of the PNB by email. There doesn't have to be a meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis.
Okay. I just wanted to address the question of the 2013 election. Okay, so what happened is, remember that the elections were originally scheduled like every year according to the every scheduled election, the bylaw says starts in June and goes from there, and it has a series of dates. That provision about exigent circumstances is the year before what the bylaw says is the schedule. Okay, the bylaws said the schedule was 2013. So the motion that you're referring to, Janet, would have had to be adopted by November of 2012. Okay, that didn't happen. Now, what happened is there was, well, whatever. Well, we don't even need to get into different opinions about the reason for the postponement. It was deemed that it was necessary to postpone it. Okay, it was not done through that bylaws provision. It was done through a simple majority motion by the PND. That was subsequently amended this year by another motion of the PND saying that the NES should be hired by December 1st, 2014, and then the election should proceed from there according to the bylaws specified intervals between events. Okay, so that's what I mean by that ship has sailed. The PND has already acted. They didn't use that two-thirds email section, and it's too late to go back and use it retroactively. That's already been determined. So the only thing they can determine is what's going to happen with the 2015 election.
Got it.
Okay, does anyone else want to speak on this or on any other aspect of Janet's motion?
No, but this is Cynthia. I have to get off this phone and go on another phone, so I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, thank you. We're
at time on this discussion.
Okay. All right. We still do have another agenda item. Does anyone want to move to extend?
I'll make a motion to extend to exhaust the agenda.
I don't understand.
That's everything that's on the agenda.
No. The meeting is going till 10:30 Eastern. The question is that the time for this item, the motion about the 2014 and 15 elections, has expired. So the question is, does anyone want to extend this item, or should we just go to a vote on Janet's motion right now?
I defer to Janet if she wants to extend. I support it.
Well, I have adjusted the motion that I initially proposed, so I would like to read it.
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead.
Based on what Bob just said about the 2013-2014 election. Okay, I accept that. Move that a task force within a task force of the election committee within the next 36 hours, that is by November 26, work with PNB directors on a motion regarding the exigent circumstances around the regular 2015 elections to be proposed to the PNB and voted on by the PNB by November 30th, 2014, based on Article 4, Section 5, election time frame. So it's basically about the 2015 election.
Okay. Janet, are you at your computer? Can you send that to the committee?
I can.
Okay. I would just insert the in front of 2015, between that and the word election, just say LSB. So it's
called. Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Are we ready to vote, or is there any last-minute question for Janet on the wording or anything else?
Well, this is Jane in D.C.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering if in plain speak you could just say what we're voting on.
Janet?
Basically, we're voting to find a way to delay the regular 2015 LSB elections.
Does that clarify it, Jane?
I guess, yeah. I don't think we really have a choice, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anyone
thinks. We want to make it official.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, I imagine Michael spoke for most people in saying that it's just budgetarily prohibitive to have two elections in one fiscal year.
Yeah.
So something's got to give.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So if there are no further questions about the motion, then, Michael, are you ready to call the roll?
Okay.
So that's, maybe there's no objection.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, is there any objection?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay.
Not sure about the whole legality of this yet, so.
Sure. Okay, so Kim's abstaining. Is there anyone else who objects or abstains?
It doesn't matter. We still have to call roll because I'm abstaining.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, Jim Brown?
Yes.
Cynthia Johnson?
I'm sorry?
Who is that?
Cynthia Johnson.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes.
James Coker?
Yes.
Yes. Bob Weber?
Yes.
Michael Murray, myself, I vote yes. Kim Kaufman?
Abstain.
Abstain. Lawrence Reyes?
I vote yes.
Jean Roberts? I got the call. Serene Roberts. Margie Wilkinson?
Yes.
Yes. Jean Guerra?
Yep.
Okay, that's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yes, 1 abstain, and 1 not voting.
Okay, thanks. All right, so the motion passes, and now who would like...
Excuse me.
Hang on, I'm
point of order.
Talking. Who would like to join this working group, or this task force?
Well, I have a point of order, Bob.
Okay.
I did not vote. I abstained.
Yes, I said one abstain and one not voting. Not voting Serena Roberts. I think she left the call.
Okay, yeah. When people don't respond, Michael, we don't normally report them as not voting. They're just not there.
Okay.
Okay.
One abstain.
Okay, fine. All right, so who would like to join this task force? Janet already volunteered. Who else?
Lawrence.
Lawrence, okay. Who else?
Michael.
Michael, okay.
Margie would like to, but, you know, I don't know how realistic it is given my current life. But, however, I would like to at least... let's see, do you think there's going to be a meeting? You're going to actually get together and talk about this? That's what the task force is, right?
Janet, you want to answer that?
Well, what I already started to put together, and I have to remove the 2013-2014
part. Okay. but you'll send us something.
Is a resolution or, you know, a motion, and I'll send it out to the task force, and we can discuss it online, and maybe we won't have to meet.
Okay. I'm happy to do that, and I would very much like to, because it's important.
Yeah, but 36 hours is the issue. So.
Yeah, 36 hours is 36 hours. Got it.
This is Jim Brown. I'd like to join that committee as well.
Okay, great. All right, so, Janet, you're going to...
Wait. Could I just interject one
yes.
thing? This is Jane from D.C. So keep in mind what we're trying to do with the cost reduction aspect of, you know, the subcommittee, because I think the two are intertwined. So I'm glad that everybody wants to jump on this thing that's going to happen within 36 hours. But really, we need people to help us to reduce the costs of the next election. So think about joining that subcommittee. Okay?
Right. I mean, the two are definitely not mutually exclusive, because this new task force is only going to have a 1.5-day life, and then it's over. So, we certainly do.
So if you want to put more energy into, like, trying to alleviate the problems, then join the other one, too. Okay.
All right. Well, people can choose to do both if they want. So, okay. Well, so we have a group. So, Janet, you'll send out, in fact, why don't you just go ahead and send your draft wording to the whole committee, and then... Yeah. You know, people in the working group can, or the task force, rather, can form a little, you know, subgroup to go back and forth on wording and et cetera.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Janet. So next is the motion on non-English language election information. Margie, that's a 15-minute item. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped the announcement, which I said earlier, but I'll do it again. The next meeting of this committee is Monday, December 8th at 8:30 Eastern. Okay, so the motion,
me, so if we spend 15 minutes on that, that'll bring us to the end of our meeting.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll read it. It's Michael Novick's motion, but I'll just read it because I happen to have it up on screen. Resolved that the Elections Committee recommend to the PNB the adoption of the following policy: that at all stations which have significant amounts of regular programming in a language or languages other than English, and a significant number of listeners for whom English is not their first or primary language, election materials, including printed and recorded statements and websites, must be translated into that or those languages. Time permitting, there should be on-air candidate forms with bilingual interpretation in order to give all candidates an equitable opportunity to participate regardless of their own language capabilities. In choosing an election supervisor at a station with programming in a language other than English 4 or more days a week, bilingual ability, including comprehension and or fluency in that language, should be considered desirable. So that's Michael's motion. The floor is open now for, well, Michael, why don't you start by motivating it?
I think it has been best practice at KPFK that we've had on their forums that are bilingual. I think our record on the website, I think, has bilingual material. I'm not sure about our record on the print materials. I think the station does have a significant audience, listening audience in a language other than English. Then we have a responsibility to try to make the election accessible to those people. Certainly done in Senate elections on a regular basis in California. There are ballots in multiple languages and election materials in multiple languages.
Could I get on the staff? It's Jane.
Sure, go ahead. Were you done, Michael?
Janet K.
Yeah, it's amazing, are you?
Okay, so Jane and then Janet.
I mean, yeah, Michael. I think it's great. I've gotten some resistance even to advertise for a GM in the Spanish language in D.C., which I thought was astounding from a member of the LSB who happened to be Hispanic. So what I'm wondering is, and I think I'm just anticipating resistance and funding because I'm on the cost-cutting measures. How do we determine for each, because this is the reactionary pushback. The argument is, if we have to do it for Spanish, then we got to do it for everything, right? So what I'm wondering is how we can have some approach to that, exactly what languages, and how we can provide for the resources. Because I don't think the resources will be great in terms of an email and translating into other languages like Ethiopian and Spanish. But how do we decide which languages we do with the resources we have? They're the only concerns, because I think there are pushbacks by reactionaries to just keep it in English. So I think we have to consider that as well. I'm done.
Michael, do you want to answer the question about how do we determine what is the trigger mechanism?
And it doesn't have
a number of hours. I can't really try to take a look at my motion.
I have it in front of me if you don't. Okay, let me just answer this factual point, and then we can get back to discussion.
Yeah, because it shouldn't be up to one person to answer this question. It's just
No. I'm just saying what the motion says, just to draw your attention, because it partially answers your question, the text of the motion. It says, all stations which have significant, now that term has to be defined, significant amounts of regular programming in a language or languages other than English, and a significant number of listeners for whom English is not their first or primary language. So that's two criteria, both of which would have to be quantified and decided by somebody, but they are, they are fairly clear criteria. So,
okay,
all right.
Can I respond to that?
Yes, of course.
I don't mean to preclude anyone else.
Go ahead.
But, I think there's like a circular argument, because if there aren't programming in our station that are in Spanish or Ethiopian or other languages, then that automatically sort of circumvents the legitimacy to translate them in and invite other cultures from being in there. So I don't think it should be based on that. I think it should be and or.
Okay. Okay. Janet?
Yeah. All right. So two things. One, I'm wondering, who would actually do the work of the translations and ensure that they be implemented wherever that needs to be done? That's one question. And then just another remark that actually those who are visually impaired or hearing impaired, in a sense, that's a different language, but there also are ADA requirements, and it's not like there's a significant number necessarily, but sometime in the future, I think that should be addressed as well.
Okay. Lawrence?
Yes. As a person that speaks another language and understands it and grew up in that culture, and so I understand Jane's concerns, but you know, the way I see it is that it should be done demographically. This way, you know, whatever demographics reflect the city or the signal area. I mean, that's I think that's for me. I think that's the only fair way to do it. You know, and that may invite people to participate in our foundation, in our radio station. But also, in regards to costs, I think one way to do it, I know that we'll probably be able to likely translate some of the information. I'm not going to say all of it, but some of the information into Spanish from our way here. And, you know, that may work for people in New York. It may work for the, you know, Latino community and that's growing in D.C. right now. And, you know, and, of course, you know, in the Bay Area, there's a big demographic as well, and in Texas. So, you know, demographically, I think that's something that needs to be looked at as well. You know, and if there's a lot of Ethiopian folks in D.C., then that should definitely be part of this translation as well. So, I mean, that's just what I'm able to pull together.
Hi, this is Kim.
Michael, do the same question.
Okay, Kim and then Michael.
Well, I think all of our signal areas have significant, other language, Spanish language population. In fact, possibly proportionally, there's more, in other places besides Los Angeles. So I don't think that this should be, this does need to be looked at equitably. And also, somebody, maybe Janet, asked what extra work would be associated with it, but I haven't heard any costs associated with it. And, of course, you know, I believe that all motions that cost money should have those costs identified before passing motions, seeing as how we're going to pay for any of this is a big question in my mind. So, at any rate, I would like some idea of what the costs will be, and I think that's important before I vote on it. Thanks.
Michael?
Yeah, although, you know, I agree with the sentiments about the need to do this across the board and in terms of equity to potential listeners, the motion as crafted is about stations that are already broadcasting a significant amount of programming in other languages than English, and therefore have listeners in that language. And so in that case, I think it's simply an obligation that we have to inform our listeners adequately in the languages that we're broadcasting in and that they're listening in. That's why it's written the way it's written. And I think that at KPFK, when we did translate the, we had bilingual on air for, and we had bilingual materials on the website. Those were translated gratis. we obtained services pro bono, and I think we would attempt to do that again going forward.
I don't believe that they were.
You haven't been called on.
There was money.
Kim asked to be called on.
I'm sorry.
Michael, were you finished?
Yeah.
Okay.
Janet K. Point of information.
Yes, Janet.
So, Michael, who would actually do the work of the translation? And all right, and I'll just stop with that question.
Michael,
you want me to answer that?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead, Lawrence.
So you got a Spanish language collective here that would likely translate to that, translate a lot of the information. I'm not going to say all of it, Janet, but a lot of the information will be translated by Spanish language collectives, a lot of our listeners who work doing translations anyway. So, I mean, in that respect, that's the way I could answer that question.
And can I have a follow-up question?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Of
information? All right, so I understand at KPFK, but what about other stations? Would KPFK be willing to do translations for other stations as well? Or?
Well, I think, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Danny. Are you done?
I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah, so... I think once the materials are translated, then I believe they'll be available to everybody.
No, but Lawrence, the question is about can they make statements for each of the five stations.
I see. Well, you know, I think KPFA has a significant demographic of Spanish-speaking people. I mean, I think it's, you know, recruitment and using the air to recruit people to translate. I mean, I could ask that question if some of the members here would be willing to translate or be translators.
Michael, over to the stack.
Go ahead, Michael, and then myself.
The online translating is vastly superior to what it used to be. KPFK's website, you know, has a button you can click and get translation of a lot of what's on the website automatically with the machine translation. It's not perfect, but, you know, it can be improved upon with a quick review by a native Spanish speaker.
It's gotten a whole lot better, the Google Translate.
Okay.
For Spanish, not necessarily for other.
I can't speak other language.
I don't know the other one.
Okay, could I get on this back, too?
Sure, after me. So I just wanted to support the motion and support... you know, the whole idea of accessibility by based on language. And while I acknowledge Jane's point about wanting to maximize that access, it's not precisely analogous to government elections, because voting for government officials is a right of everyone. Voting in Pacifica is a right for members. And as much as we should do, and it's a whole separate discussion, it's not for this committee, but for the programming committee, as to how to incorporate more programming in different languages in each of our signal areas. The reality is, if your primary language is not English, and your local Pacifica station does not broadcast in your primary language, it's very, very unlikely that you're going to be a member of the station and therefore have the right to vote. So I don't think it's practical. Jane's suggestion was to change the and to an and or. In other words, even if there are no programs in that language, but there are a significant number of listeners, which really doesn't mean listeners. It means people who live in the region that the signal reaches, who may or may not, and more likely than not, are not listeners, that then that triggers the requirement that everything be translated into that language as well. I just don't think that's realistic or practical at this stage. I mean, like I said, I support expansion of programming to more languages, but that's beyond the scope of this committee. So that would be why I would support the motion as written, with the language of and, you know, both the programming and a significant number of listeners.
This is Margie. We've reached the end of our time.
Oh, okay. Jane wanted to speak, and then maybe we should... Well, I guess I would propose a five-minute extension. Is there any objection? So just so we can hear a little bit more on this issue.
It's 7:30, and I want to try to find out what's happening in L.A. around the...
So that's an objection to an extension?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll withdraw the motion. I don't think this is necessarily ready for voting tonight. So based on, you know, this different debate we're having on different aspects of the motion. So I move to table to postpone this motion to the next meeting. Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, the motion's postponed, and the meeting's adjourned. So thank you all, and we'll see you on December 8th.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.